Welcome back to this week's Off the Bench podcast from the Premier League. I'm Lee from FPL Family.
And I'm Tom from Fantasy Football Scout and the FPL Watchlist.
Well, Tom, we're about to head into the biggest double game week of the season with six teams playing twice. And for many players, game week 32 was their audition to make it into our FPL managers teams for game week 33. But before we get into what happened and how those auditions went, how was game week 32 for you?
Yeah, it was decent. I made the decision not to wildcard and I bought Jarrod Bowen. So Friday night was enjoyable with Bowen's three assists. And then obviously Sunday, it went slightly downhill with O'Reilly's goal in more ways than one for me. But yeah, it was okay. I think I kept pace with wildcarders, maybe slightly beat them, but we'll see what happens with the bench boost this week. What about you? I'm guessing you're hoping for a big bench boost.
Well, yes, I am. I mean, I did wildcard in game week 32, and I don't know whether we can call it a success or not at the moment, because really the whole point of wildcarding in game week 32 was to prepare for this big upcoming double for game week 33. So I do absolutely feel ready for it. I've got loads of doublers. My team's looking great for this week, for game week 33. But there was some risks in playing the wildcard in game week 32, including taking out some players. And I went into it with my eyes wide open. There wasn't a part of me that thought Thiago would blank in this week. I thought it was a home game. He's bound to get something. And he did. And he did. So I did take Thiago out of my wildcard because he doesn't double game week in 33. I took other players out, like Van Dijk. Doesn't double in game week 33. So took him out. Got the DEFCON. I think he got bonus point as well. So yeah, in the end, I think I got a small red arrow. It was about a sort of 8,000 or 9,000 small red arrows. So I'm down to about 150K now. But like I say, the real determining factor of the success of wildcarding in game week 32 can only, I think, really be determined at the end of game week 33. So 55 points this week, a small red, we take it, and I'm ready for the big double game week in game week 33. But before we do that, Tom, we've got to discuss what happened in game week 32. And I think we probably should start. Let's start with what happened at the Emirates. So Arsenal versus Bournemouth, and the Opta XG in this game says that Arsenal got 2.41 XG against Bournemouth's 1.2. So I think if you just look at that stat, you'd say, well, that's massively in Arsenal's favour. They were unlucky to lose, which is true to some extent, but actually only 0.19 of that 2.4 Arsenal XG came from open play. So again, this is the story of Arsenal's season, isn't it? They get the penalties. They are a big threat from set pieces. We know what Gabriel and others can do from corners and free kicks. But the open play XG is just not there. And this was no fluke. Let me tell you, Bournemouth are on a 12-match unbeaten run now. They've not lost since they sold Semenyo, by the way. How's that for a stat, right? You lose your best player, arguably, in Semenyo, and they haven't lost since then. So give me a view on the game. And in particular, maybe we start with Bournemouth, because they have got the double game week in game week 33. They're playing Leeds and then Newcastle, which is a pretty good-looking double game week, actually. I've got two. I've got Hill and Tavernier on the wildcard in 32, ready for 33. So give me a view on Bournemouth to start with, and then we'll do Arsenal after that.
Well, yeah, I mean, this was more of an audition for me because I'm either going to wildcard or free hit this week. So I was looking at Bournemouth assets, thinking who's probably the three, if I'm free hitting, to be fair, that I want to get in. Obviously, Hill and Senesi at the back. DEFCON again.
As per.
Brilliant stuff. Probably nothing to suggest you pay more for Senesi. I wouldn't have thought at this stage. And then, yeah, the attacker's quiet, albeit you do expect that against the best team in the league, Ryan and Tavernier, with pretty low XG each, but not too much of a problem when you're playing at the Emirates. Krupe really putting his hand up, scoring in back-to-back weeks. Now that's 10 goals for a striker that started at 4.5 million. So he's having a cracking season, and he definitely won't be 4.5 million next year. Evan Nilsson getting an assist, probably not going to feature in the top three forwards next week without penalties and with Krupe playing really well. But yeah, impressive all round. And then Alex Scott, I mean, what do you think about him as a differential? I'm guessing you didn't wildcard him in, but maybe, I mean, that's pretty hindsighty to say you should have done, but he's really stuck his hand up.
He has, absolutely. Talk about put yourself on the radar for a double game week 33. He's only 1.5% owned, by the way. He's not exactly price prohibitive either, 5.2 Alex Scott. I think that's his 12th successive game week, completing 90 minutes as well. So a real 90-minute man, which we love in FPL. And I think, you know, you've mentioned a lot of different options there in the Bournemouth midfield. And I think previously this season, it's like, well, where do we go? It's a bit difficult. Is there going to be some rotation? Well, not for Alex Scott. That's, like I say, 12 successive game weeks. So I think he is absolutely a double game week differential. That's only his third goal of the season. So I think we tread carefully. I think we go in to double game week 33. If you're going to buy Alex Scott at 5.2 million, you go with your expectations set correctly. I don't think we're going to see double digit hauls from this guy, but the performance against Arsenal was sensational, wasn't it? Really, really good. And as you said before, Hill and Senesi, well, I think they largely pick themselves. I agree with you. I think Hill's probably the one to go for. If you were going to go for just one, I think it's Hill, because you can probably do something else with your team with that extra million. I think just from a value perspective, James Hill is probably the pick. But who's to say you can't go with both? And I think those two, Alex Scott definitely on radar. I think you're right about Ryan and Tavernier. I think 0.06 XG each. But in a game like this, I think that's probably okay. So yeah, lots of options from Bournemouth, I think, coming into the double. If I was to tie you down then, Tom, who would you go for? Which three would you pick and in which order?
I'd definitely pick Hill.
Yeah, I think so.
Pending on sort of O'Reilly fitness and maybe three City attackers, there's potentially room for Senesi in a free hit for me as well. And then I would say Tavernier, I think, for the consistency. And Kroupi, very unlucky to miss out on the top three, but just I think there's going to be three other forwards you'd probably prefer going forward. So I'd say Tavernier still just ahead, but there's no reason Alex Scott can't compete with him if you're looking to chase rank.
Yeah, it's close, that third one as well, because Kroupi, we think on penalties? We think, I mean, he took the last one and finished with aplomb, didn't he? So who takes the pens? Is it Tavernier or is it Kroupi?
I think they've said they're kind of sharing it, I think. But with him and Tavernier, yeah, unfortunately, we're not clear.
Oh, okay. So we're not very clear on that. We're not clear on that. I think it's Kroupi's to lose. No, I think it's Kroupi's to lose while he's on the pitch.
Yeah, well, he's pretty good at them. So
yeah, he absolutely is. And talk to me about Arsenal then, because a lot of FPL managers will, I don't know if we're selling our Arsenal assets, but we'll certainly be thinking twice about them, given that the game week 33 fixture is not only a single one, but it's against Manchester City. Mouthwatering game coming up at the weekend, no doubt about it. What do we make of this open play XG stat that I said before? I mean, I struggle, honestly, to pick an Arsenal attacking asset, either a midfielder or a forward, in FPL right now. I mean, I've got Gabriel in my team. He's probably going to stay. Well, he's almost certainly going to stay. I don't think I'm going to take him out. He can always get a goal from set pieces. As I mentioned before, you know, Arsenal are racking up the XG from set pieces. So I don't think you want to take Gabriel out. He's probably one of their key goal threats right now. But from open play, I struggle with midfielders and attackers. Who would you go for, Tom? And would you go for them at all? I mean, there's a case for going without anybody other than Gabriel for the rest of the season, no?
Yeah, there's definitely a case for it. I mean, Gabriel, we know what he does. There's a reason he's the highest scoring defender. He obviously picked up the assist this week as well, winning the penalty via the handball.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So that's kind of what he does. Declan Rice, I think, is always a fair pick with taking the corners and can get DEFCON. Apart from that, there's nothing that interests me, to be honest. Obviously, Saka's not available. Timber wasn't in the squad. Raya obviously conceded again. I was kind of considering buying Raya if I was going to play through 34 as well. I was kind of up there with Hermansen as the best two goalkeepers. Fortunately, I didn't do that. Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to say about the other assets, is there? Like, you're not going to pick Madueke or Martinelli, Trossard. I think the one that, if Arteta is looking to shake things up for the massive game on Sunday, could Eze be that guy that comes in and like grabs the ball by the horns and gets a bit of creativity into a pretty lackluster attack at the moment? But for fantasy wise, I don't think you're going to go there. I mean, did you keep Gabriel on your wildcard bench boost?
I did. I kept him and not really for game week 33. I mean, I'm almost certainly going to bench boost in game week 33. So we will get some, he'll play for me this week. But
yeah,
I guess really it's those fixtures, isn't it? Newcastle and Fulham at home in 34, 35, and then Burnley at home in 37. You know, the West Ham game suddenly looks a bit trickier given that they're fighting for their lives and have found a little bit of form in 36. But still, three home games in the next four after the City game means that I will keep Gabriel for the longer term, I think. Yes, but adding to him, I think he's difficult. I think you're right. It's very difficult.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if I wildcard this week, it will be a second defender or nothing else.
I think you're right. Well, if we can't tempt you too much with the Arsenal assets for game week 33, let's look at the blue side of London then. So Chelsea versus Manchester City. I know this is a game you're not going to want to go too heavy on as a Chelsea fan, but
we talk about the first half. That's fine.
Well, the first half was all right, wasn't it? Yeah, it wasn't too bad. But they have now lost three Premier League games in a row, and they failed to score in that time too, Tom, right? One of the worst minutes per expected goal rates in the division, only an XG every 84.7. So what does that tell you? It tells you that the underlying stats are not really there. I'm not really creating a lot, Tom, either. So we'll talk about City in a second. They've got their own double game week that we need to consider. Chelsea first. Let's do them. difficult to pick them with a Brighton and Manchester United double game week coming up. That's a tricky looking double now for an out of form Chelsea, no?
Yeah, it is tricky. The only thing I'm holding on to is that Cole Palmer has scored hat tricks against both of those teams in the past. So we live in hope that he can find it. I thought in the first half he looked pretty bright. He's spoken in recent weeks
about
being able to shoot again without being in pain, which is obviously important as a footballer. I was thinking in that first half, could you even captain him? Like, I thought he looked quite bright first 15 minutes. And then, you know, as the team went downhill, he kind of went downhill as well. But he played 90, which is obviously encouraging. I don't think there's any doubt he's going to start twice. But yeah, our underlying numbers have dried up as the fixtures have turned. Obviously, I think most people will be aware we had statistically the easiest fixture run in the whole season when we played. It was like Leeds, Burnley, all in the space of 6 weeks. And yeah, I can't quite remember the full fixtures, but obviously that was Rossini's decent start as well. But yeah, clean sheets. We've kept one clean sheet since January. And I know that because I owned Sanchez for a lot of that time and he kept finding out ways to concede.
You can't go for a defender on game week 33, can you, Tom? I just don't think you can do it.
No, I mean, there wasn't a defender in the template wildcard. I'm sure you didn't pick one.
No, I didn't.
If James is out for a bit longer, Gusto is... I mean, he's okay, but I wouldn't tell anyone to do it. Fofana's probably the one that will play. But again, like, there's not really anything to suggest that's a good idea. Still think João Pedro and Palmer are decent picks. I can see us scoring in both games. I think United at home, potentially, they've got centre-back problems with Maguire still facing that outstanding charge for not leaving the pitch, I think. And Martinez, red card last night, so they could have Heaven and Euro at centre-back, which is a bit weaker. So that's potentially good for João Pedro, whose numbers are still really good under Rossini. He's got 14 attacking returns in 11 league games, or 12, one of the two, which is pretty decent. So yeah, I'd pick those two and then probably use more spots on Man City than Chelsea.
Yeah, that's the hope I'm holding on to, is that underlying stats for Palmer and João Pedro. I think certainly coming into this game against Manchester City, and City were great in this game, by the way. We'll talk about them in a second. So, you know, no shame in losing to Manchester City here, Chelsea, although it was a scoreline that the fans won't be happy with. But the underlying stats coming into this game for both João Pedro and for Palmer look pretty good. I remember seeing Palmer in the top five for non-penalty XGI, so expected goal involvement over the last six coming into this game.
Pedro was top of that as well.
And Pedro was top. Yeah, absolutely. So I think for both of them, if you've got them, I think you absolutely hold them for the double game week. I don't think there's anybody saying we should be taking those guys out. Bringing them in, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Which Chelsea assets have you got, Tom? Have you got both of those guys?
No, well, I didn't wildcard, so I haven't got any. Well, I've got Sanchez on my bench at this point. But if I free hit, it will be both of them. And if I wildcard, it will be both of them. I think.
Yeah, I think that's the way to play it, isn't it? Yeah. I think that's the way to play it. If you've got a chip to play, that's okay. But if you're using transfers, I think there's probably better assets that you could bring in. And speaking of which, we should probably transition then to Manchester City, because they're the team on form. Arsenal will be feeling City breathing down their necks, won't they? No doubt about it. The star of the show again, as he was in the cup final, Nico O'Reilly. Certainly for my team, you know, the 55 points I got, largely thanks to him and Verbruggen in defence. There wasn't a lot going on in my midfield and forward line, but O'Reilly popping up with his fifth Premier League goal of the season was very welcome, I have to say, on my wild card. Although he did go off, I think, shortly after, I think on 63 minutes, which meant he did get the clean sheet locked in FPL. But now I'm kind of sweating on whether he's going to be available for the Burnley and the Arsenal game coming up in game week 33. I think as he was leaving the pitch, he and Pep had a word to each other. Pep seemed to kind of smile at him. So I'm, as an O'Reilly owner, I'm kind of holding on to that as the message I've taken from that with no bias whatsoever is he's fine, he's going to be okay. But I think the message we have to give on this podcast is we've got to wait to see what the news is on Nico O'Reilly. We need to hear from Pep. We need to hear from the club as to his fitness. But if he is fit and he is available for game week 33, he feels like the defender to go for, I think, Tom. I mean, shout out to Gehee as well. Gehee owners will be very happy with that finish. A very tidy, a striker's finish, I should say, actually,
at the weekend.
After a very, very nice assist from Cherki. City defence then, who would you go for? Assuming O'Reilly's fit, would it be him or would you be going elsewhere anyway?
I think you take out the word defence in that question. I think O'Reilly's the best City pick, full stop. Four goals in five, obviously clean sheet, City's defence looking strong. And yeah, I mean, the way he's getting in that box, he scored that goal multiple times now, scored it twice in the cup final, didn't he? Just the short range header from left back. But yeah, I mean, he's just the best City asset. I think elsewhere, I mean, players like Haaland and Semenyo, they're being outshone by Shirky at the moment, aren't they? If I free hit, I find it hard to see a world where I don't have Ryan Shirky in it. He just looks like the form pick. Certainly in better form than Haaland, who hasn't scored in four. And there's only one goal ahead in the Golden Boot. We talk about Thiago later, but that's another interesting thing to watch.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. Cherki is a very interesting differential at 7.5% owned, isn't he? Three assists in his last three. I think that's 11 for the season. So only Bruno's got more throughout the whole league. So yeah, 6.3, not exactly going to be, difficult to get in for FPL managers price-wise. So 7.5, I agree with you. I think he's a nice differential. Would you... if you weren't playing a chip though, Tom, would you be moving your team around to get Cherki in?
If I wasn't playing a chip, I'd like to think I'd already have Semenyo, to be fair, but I wouldn't do the straight swap this week unless you had four or five transfers. But on free hit, it's definitely a question for me between those two. I'm guessing you went Semenyo, Haaland, wildcard.
I did. I went O'Reilly, I went Semenyo, and I went Haaland. So I've kind of made my bed now, really, haven't I? I've played the wild card. I've got to play with those three. I think if O'Reilly isn't fit, though, if he comes out and says, well, you know, hamstring injury, he's out for a bit, then, you know, I've got to make a transfer. And I think a lot of FPL managers will be looking at a bit of a, inverted commas, sideways move from O'Reilly to Gehi, right? That feels like a very, if not template move, it feels like an obvious move.
Yeah.
I have to say, I think if I was to move O'Reilly to someone like a Senesi or someone else that's got a double game, maybe a Brighton defender, then maybe Cherki. I mean, I've only got one transfer, so it would be for a hit. I'd have to consider that. But maybe Cherki is a nice differential in that midfield. Maybe I could bring him in and use that third Man City slot. So definitely food for thought, definitely. Let's talk about another couple of teams that both double, actually. So Burnley versus Brighton. Now, from a Burnley perspective, it's Forest away and Manchester City in game week 33. I think Fleming had five chances in this game, but I don't think we're going to be spending a hell of a lot of time talking about our Burnley assets. I mean, even Dubravka between the sticks, who's been great for us, right, as a sub-goalkeeper, as a second goalkeeper in FPL throughout the season, probably going to be overshadowed by Darlow from Leeds for game week 33. So I don't see us picking many Burnley assets. But Brighton, on the other hand, absolutely worthy of conversation. Spurs away, Chelsea at home. I mean, there's an argument to say that's probably the best-looking double game week, isn't it, given the form of both of those teams? And just 10 goals conceded now in their last 13 Premier League games, Brighton. So defensively, they're looking very, very good indeed. That's their third straight away clean sheet for Brighton as well. So maybe a touch of fortune going into this one. I mean, there was a couple of very, very marginal offsides, I think.
I couldn't believe that. Wildcard is getting all the luck.
It was crazy, wasn't it? It was a sleeve offside, wasn't it? A sleeve offside. And as somebody that had Verbruggen and Jean-Paul Van Heek, I was pretty happy that sleeve meant that the Burnley attacker was offside. But go on then, Brighton, let's discuss them. Two defenders and a forward from your perspective, Tom, on the wildcard, if you were playing it in game week 33, or where would you go?
I think if I was playing the wildcard and had to look longer term, I'd probably only pick one defensive pick. Just with O'Reilly, maybe double Bournemouth, and then Darlow in goal, I see slightly ahead, because I know you've just kind of said that they conceded 10 and 13. That's great. Maybe this makes my point slightly redundant, but I think they concede in both games to Chelsea and Spurs. I think it's probably odds on them conceding, especially to Chelsea. But yeah, I mean, this week they did what they had to do against one of the lowest scoring teams in the league for wildcarders. Big victory. Most people who went there getting the double clean sheet. With Verbruggen getting two bonus as well, that was almost a haul there, 9 points. But yeah, I mean, I would probably have Bournemouth and Leeds defensive assets just ahead of them this week, though.
I'm not so sure, you know. I think both Spurs and Chelsea. I mean, Chelsea's, like we said before, underlying stats look okay, but Spurs really struggling at both ends of the pitch, aren't they? So I don't know. I think there's at least one clean sheet in there for Brighton. So I'd be very happy to go into game week 33 with my two, with Verbruggen and with Van Heek.
I'm sure he'll get DEFCON as well, Van Heek. It's good for DEFCON.
Well, pretty much, yeah. I'm sure he will. And actually, the two bonus points for Verbruggen were well-deserved, I thought. He had a good game. A couple of important saves. One with his foot, I think, in the second half, which is a particularly good save from Verbruggen. So I think the two bonus points were well-deserved for the Brighton keeper there. Elsewhere in Brighton, though, let's talk about the more attacking assets, the midfielders and the forwards. I mean, Welbeck, you know, nothing in game week 32, which is a bit of a shame for me, but having brought him in on the wild card. But, you know, I think he's got absolutely the fixtures, certainly in the double, to put that right wrong. So he's the obvious pick, I think, from a forward perspective. But talk to me about the midfield, because there's so many options now, right? You know, Hinshelwood is now the leading FPL midfielder for non-penalty XGI of the last 7 game weeks. So although he hasn't scored with his last 24 shots, so his owners could do with him being a bit more clinical, the underlying stats are absolutely there for Hinshelwood. And he's only 0.4% owned right now. So a proper, proper differential. I noticed Diego Gomez owners were kind of hiding behind the sofa every time he went into a tackle because they wanted him to avoid that 10th yellow card so that he could play in both of the games in the double game week, which he did. So he's now available. Mats Wiefer, though, as well, popping up with his first 2 goals. His first goals in 16 months, by the way. So I have to say, wasn't really even on my radar last week when I was putting the wild card together. Maybe should have been. He's been good historically for defensive contributions. The trouble I have with him was that he's kind of reverse out of position, isn't he? He plays as fullback for Brighton, but he's a midfielder for us in FPL. So it kind of wasn't really on my radar. Very, very few FPL managers would have gone there on wildcard. But because he plays in a more defensive position, on the pitch at least, historically good for DEFCON, as I mentioned before, pops up with 2 goals in this game. So loads of options, almost like too many options for us to go to, maybe, in the Brighton midfield. Who stands out for you? Which one would you go for if I had to tie you down to just one?
Yeah, there's plenty. I mean, you haven't even mentioned Minte as well, who maybe got the highest
Mitoma
ceiling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Mitoma came off the bench, nearly got an assist, but his cross was just deflected. When I was drafting a potential 32 wildcard, I couldn't look past Hinshelwood just with that data. It just looked like the perfect kind of, I mean, these days there's no sleeper pick because everyone sees everything and everyone has the data. But when you've got a player that's that good data-wise and hasn't scored yet, you do think it's only a matter of time. So I would have gone with Hinshelwood. I don't think you should beat yourself up about Viva. As you said, 16 months since his last goal. So
yeah,
pretty, unlikely he scored twice, and I don't think he'll do it again. Famous last words. But yeah, Hinshelwood would be my pick. I think he's going to cash that data in. Hopefully not against Chelsea. He can do it against Spurs. If I free hit, I suspect I'll have Hinshelwood.
Yeah, lots of options there from a Brighton perspective. We do need to cover Leeds as well as the final team that have got a double game week in game week 33. And then we'll start talking about some of the teams that have got just the single fixture in game week 33. Very nice performance from Leeds, I thought, at Old Trafford last night. We're recording this on Tuesday morning. So we watched the game against Manchester United on Monday night. I thought Manchester United probably, if anything, they looked a little bit lethargic, like 3 weeks off. And I know there was some international football around the edges, right? But they were out the FA Cup. Having 3 weeks off, I don't know if it just sort of killed the momentum a little bit or they just lacked a little bit of match fitness. Certainly that first half, Leeds were fantastic. 2 goals for Okafor, which again, same as Mats Wiefer, right? No, I certainly wasn't even looking at Okafor on my wild card in terms of a player for double game week 33. But here he is popping up with 2 goals. A player that a lot of managers will have looked at, though, is Dominic Calvert-Lewin. I had one in like the second minute, which Lemens did well to save, was there or thereabouts. He did get some chances, right? He actually cleared a couple off the line in the second half. So he was doing his defensive duty as well, Dominic Calvert-Lewin. We'll talk about United in just a second because they don't have the double, of course. They've just got a single game week in game week 33. But Leeds, they've got both Bournemouth and Wolves coming up in 33. They look all right. There's some picks there, no?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Darlow at the back, 4 million in goal. Just had to see confirmation he keeps starting after Perry did well in the penalty shootout in the FA Cup, but he's straight back in the team. And I can't see Farker changing that now. So is he the best goalkeeper next week? He's probably, for me, fixture-wise, maybe Verbruggen if you back in Brighton. But Darlow looks great. Bijol came in at the back. DEFCON again. His DEFCON record is seriously outstanding now. Yeah, those two probably did the pick at the back. And then Calvert-Lewin, as you said, had a big chance. But I don't know, are you slightly concerned with the semi-final as well after the double? Is he going to start 3 games in a week?
I am a little bit concerned about that, yeah. And that was one of my concerns when I was putting the wild card together was, well, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, we know what his injury record is like. So does he start those 3 in a week or does the manager, do the fans almost kind of demand that they prioritise the league? But listen, what are they now? That's now 6 points clear of relegation. I mean, I'm not, far be it from me to say they're safe, but it's looking much, much healthier for them now on the back of that result at Old Trafford. So maybe they can afford to prioritise the cup now and think more heavily about that. So Yeah, if I was...
Especially if they won the first game.
100%. Yeah, 100%. So I do wonder whether... And by the way, the first of their games is the Bournemouth away game. That is probably the more difficult, I would suggest, than Wolves at home. Certainly on paper, it looks like it. So if I was picking Dominic Calvert-Lewin now, I would have a bit of a concern over, yeah, his ability, let's say, to play three in a week. I'd agree with you on that.
Yeah, tricky decision if I free hit, especially with Kruppi doing the business and obviously Welbeck as well, who I guess is also a slight minutes question. But obviously he won't play on the weekend, so less pronounced of a question there. And then Okafor, I mean, he's put his hand up, I guess, as a informed punt, if you wanted that, but probably still prefer Bournemouth and Brighton midfielders.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. And I think from a Manchester United perspective, Bruno does the business again. Was my captain this week. I assume he was for you as well. That's now 17 assists. Goodness me, 17 assists in the league so far this season. The record in a season, by the way, is 20. That's a shared record. Both Thierry Henry and Kevin De Bruyne have got 20 assists in a Premier League season. So listen, Bruno on 17, he's got 6 games to go. Listen, he's going to do it, isn't he? He's going to do it. And the Casemiro, the Fernandes to Casemiro combination for Manchester United comes up trumps again. Like you mentioned earlier in the pod, Tom, now they do have some defensive issues. You know, you've mentioned Maguire. Martinez gets sent off here on the 56th minute. So some centre-half concerns for them at the back. But Bruno just continues to be a great asset. Do we want to spend too much time on this pod talking about him, or we just keep him, don't we? Despite only having a single game week in game week 33, there's no way you could tempt me into selling Bruno Fernandes.
No, definitely not. I mean, I had to nip out during when they scored, and I saw I got a goal notification for Casemiro, and I thought that's Bruno 100%. He's put the cross in. Like, he's done. It's ridiculous. It's always Casemiro's head and Bruno with the cross. But yeah, I mean, if you've set up a bench boost this week, I would assume Bruno's part of that. Probably the one single sacrifice, maybe with Gabriel for two. And then for me, yeah, if I was to free hit, obviously I may not have him this week. But if I wildcard this week, he'll sit on the bench. Although to be fair, if you've seen Chelsea play recently, there's probably a case to play him over someone like Hinchelwood. It wouldn't shock me if he gets a goal and an assist.
Well, do you know what? There will be FPL managers that do that. I mean, I'm playing the bench boost, so I'm cool with it. But there will be many that think, well, okay, on paper, that's certainly in your previous season, that's tricky, isn't it? You know, Chelsea, tricky, and it still is a tricky fixture. So do you dare bench Bruno Fernandes against Chelsea? I don't, personally. I would not do that. I mean, I'm bench boost, like I say, so it's not a problem for me, but I would be playing him, Tom. I know you're not going to like that as a Chelsea fan, but I think you still got to play him against Chelsea.
No, that's completely fair enough. Don't worry about that.
All right, let's move it on to Brentford versus Everton then. We've got a big game, a big Merseyside derby coming up in game week 33. So no double game week for Everton or for Liverpool, but let's discuss them anyway, because that game is going to get some eyeballs, isn't it, over the weekend. Let's start with Everton.
You must be nervous.
Am I nervous? I am a bit, to be honest with you. Yes, I am a bit. We showed a little bit of form against Fulham this week, but listen, Everton, they're going to want to beat us at their first Merseyside derby at the Hill Dickinson Stadium. So let's start with the Blues. Let's start with Everton. In fact, let's go to that game, but let's do Brentford first, because we have to talk about Thiago. So many wildcarders in game week 32, me included, took him out. And that was a tough one to take, but I knew the risks in doing that, right? 21 goals this season. It's just one behind Haaland now, right? And his XG on target number for the season is 18.94 with the 21 goals that he scored. So this is not, you know, he's not lucky to get the 21 goals. He's overperforming his XG a little bit, but it's deserved, right? Absolutely deserved. And I hear what a lot of the narrative is. Penalties, there are some penalties in there, of course, but there's some penalties in there for Erling Haaland as well. So 21 goals for Thiago. Very, very good performance from him this weekend. Not far off 400,000 FPL managers made Thiago the fourth most sold player. So I'm not alone here, Tom. Right? I take some solace in the fact that I wasn't the only one to sell him in game week 32. What did you make of his overall performance? And then Brentford in general, talk to me about their assets.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed it, having kept him.
Thanks
and
for that.
I know you just said he's not been lucky, but that second goal was slightly fortunate. The shot, Coyote's shot, just deflecting it in off his chest.
Yeah, as a 7-point deflection, by the way, that, Tom, because it meant he got into the bonus as well. I don't think he was on for any bonus until that second goal went in. So 7 points for that deflection off of his thigh or whatever it deflected off. So yeah, I was a bit, we could say it's a bit lucky, couldn't we?
Yeah, but he's deserved his luck this year. He's been brilliant. 24 in all competitions as well, if you factor in the cups, which is just incredible. First Brazilian player to score 20 goals in a Premier League season. Couldn't quite believe that stat. But yeah, he's had a brilliant season. I also had Dango, so I was a little bit disappointed that he didn't get anything. And obviously at the back, they did concede twice, albeit Coyote got the assist for the second goal, although it was a shot, but he gets the points nevertheless. I mean, Brentford, no double, so they're not really going to be in your thoughts. But have maybe Thiago, as we come out of the blank and 34 and what have you, he's going to be we should be considering him again in future weeks. They got West Ham at home in game week 35, so could be a good opportunity to go back to him as he chases a golden boot.
Yeah, I think the narrative over the course of this week, and let's start that narrative now, is do you take him out for double game week 33, right? So, you know, the one game, I understand that, but that game is it's a pretty good looking one at home to Fulham, who we'll discuss in a second against Liverpool. In the second half, didn't really push on. I felt, are they a little bit, you know, I hate to use this term as early on as game week 32, but are Fulham a little bit on the beach? Are they starting to think about the summer already? So I don't mind it as a game for Thiago. I will be very uncomfortably watching that game, that Brentford game in game week 33. And we talk Welbeck this and Calvert-Lewin that and double, you know, João Pedro, double game week strikers. We want them for game week 33. Of course, you know, we love a double game week, but I don't know if I'd make that switch now, Tom. If I had Thiago, I'd probably stick with him. What do you think?
I think it's a good argument, but I think you struggle to find a manager who will do that. I mean, if I free hit this week, am I going to pick him over a double game week? I'm probably not. I think you have to play the percentages, play the minutes, and just hope that you win out, because that's why we're playing the chips now, right? If we wanted to keep the good singles, we could, you know, you could play the chips elsewhere. So I think you've got to shut your eyes and do it, in my opinion.
Yeah, all right. Okay, very good. Well, let's a quick shout out to Everton then. So Kieran Dewsbury-Hall, again, averaging an attacking return every other start this season. So what a great asset he's been for us. Only 5.1 in FPL. And of course, James Tarkowski, again with the DEFCON. He's top for DEFCON points amongst players in that position this season. And then Beto as well. He made it 5 attacking returns in as many appearances since he broke into the starting 11 in game week 28. So lots of options there for us from an Everton perspective, but I don't think we're going to spend too much time discussing them, given they've got Liverpool coming up in game week 33. It's West Ham away, and as we said before, West Ham fighting for their lives in 34 and then City in 35. So we'll probably, sorry Everton fans, we're going to skip on past them and discuss their opponents in game week 33. The Merseyside derby, Liverpool versus Fulham then in 32. What do you make of this game? Dominic Szoboszlai again banking the DEFCON points for the 4th straight game on Saturday. So again, proving that as a Liverpool fan, he is absolutely indispensable for us at the moment. I think the energy was good from Liverpool in the first half. I think there was a bit of a drop-off in the second half as Liverpool kind of took their foot off the gas a little bit. We've seen that before. We've seen Liverpool, I've certainly watched obviously a lot of Liverpool this season, go 2-0 up and then take their foot off the gas a little bit. And I suppose with PSG in mind coming up this midweek, I guess I can forgive them a little bit. But 19 shots for Fulham in this game, right? So that's more than any other team that played on Saturday. So definitely had chances. Liverpool definitely giving up XG. What did you make of the Liverpool performance? And, you know, with Everton up next, then Palace, it's Man U, Chelsea, Villa. It's looking okay, I think, from a fixtures perspective. I wouldn't say any of those fixtures necessarily stand out for Liverpool. I'm finding it really hard to know where to invest, though, outside of maybe Van Dijk and Szoboszlai. What do you make of the game, Tom?
Yeah, I think from a fantasy perspective, we should also say Ekitike, no minutes.
We should,
kind of,
yeah.
Many people predicted, yeah. Maybe didn't predict 0 minutes. It was maybe a bit of a shock, but I guess the game state, probably Slot thought he could give him a full rest. Isak back as well. He's got, what, 2 half-an-hours now in his locker, maybe building up to a start in 33, maybe, if Ekitike plays PSG. So probably rules them both out, maybe, for the rest of the season. I think the 2 goal scorers, Ngamoa, what a player he is, by the way.
Love him.
Chelsea let him go, so have to look at those memes for the next 20 years of him in a Chelsea Academy shirt. But yeah, I think, to be honest, Ngamoa and Salah, the next time we'll probably talk about them is game week 38 for that Brentford home game. I'm not convinced we're going to be buying Liverpool assets before then. You may disagree, but obviously 3 games against top 5 competition. yeah, I feel like potentially it's, we're putting Liverpool on ice for a few weeks.
I think it's that game week 34, isn't it? Having said there's no fixtures that stand out, I think Palace in game week 34, given that that is a week when, you know, I certainly will be playing the free hit. I think there'll be a lot of managers looking at free hit. Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to go with Salah from game week 35 onwards, like you say, because there's a lot of tricky looking fixtures in there. So I think we owe it as an FPL community to go for Mo Salah on the free hit in game week 34. Maybe we can just all agree that we have one last dance with Mo in game week 34. What a great asset he's been for us over the years. So, and given that Crystal Palace, of course, have got their eyes on other things, haven't they? Right, doing great in Europe. So I don't mind that fixture. I disagree with you from we're putting Liverpool on ice. I'm thinking free hit 34.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking transfers. Yeah, for sure. I'll have Van Dijk, Salah probably on a free hit. But yeah, I mean, you might have your mind on other things as well.
If we might do. Tuesday, yeah, absolutely. We'll see how the Paris game goes, right? We're hoping for Barcelona from a few years ago style comeback for us during the week. Let's see. Let's rattle through the rest of these games then, Tom. So Sunderland versus Spurs. Sunderland's sixth home clean sheet of the season, which is joint third amongst teams. Only Arsenal and Man City can boast a better home clean sheet record than Sunderland. So it was never going to be easy for Spurs going into this game. What did you make of it? I think Spurs, you know, bang in trouble, right? Particularly when West Ham beat Wolves on the Friday night. They were going into this game under quite a bit of pressure. It also looks as if the captain, Romero, is now going to be out for a prolonged period, if not the season. Listen, I don't know how many Spurs FPL assets are on my radar, if any. And I think with Sunderland coming up against Villa in double game week, Villa away actually, in a double game week 33, I'm not going to be looking at them in the immediate future either. So is this a game we can just kind of quickly gloss over, or is there something that stood out for you?
I think we should say Mukiele continues his incredible season, especially in home games. Started the season at 4 million and is just having an absolutely brilliant campaign. His home record's also particularly great, scoring that slightly fortunate goal and getting a clean sheet. So he continues. And I saw a few people's teams, they were back in a Sunderland defender. Alderete got DEFCON as well. That was a recalculation. He got that yesterday. Robin Rowe's also having a brilliant season. Spurs probably slightly unfortunate with the goal. I think 0-0, neither side could have complained with a 0-0. And potentially Brobbey was sort of obviously fortunate to stay on the pitch at times. More trouble for Spurs and not good for them.
The one player that stood out for me from a Spurs perspective, and I will just give him a quick shout out, was Pedro Porro. He's 5.1 in FPL, so he's maybe a little bit on the expensive side for a Spurs defence that are not keeping a lot of clean sheets. But he did end the match with 3 shots and 3 chances created. And I noticed that Roberto De Zerbi's putting him back on a lot of the set pieces. So under Igor Tudor, I think Porro was off them. He obviously didn't fancy him from set pieces, but De Zerbi's put him back on them. So I don't know if we're going to rush to Pedro Porro, particularly when they've got a tricky-looking game against Brighton. I know it's at home for Spurs, but it's a tricky-looking game against the Brighton side that are banging form. So I'm not rushing there, but just, I don't know, keep an eye on Pedro Porro. It's Wolves in game week 34, Villa away in 35 is tricky, Leeds at home. You know, they've got some real, real six-pointers, Spurs. And, you know, if they're going to stay up, they're going to have to get results. And maybe Porro just comes into our thinking as a bit of a differential. I don't know, just somebody that stood out for me. Let's talk about Crystal Palace versus Newcastle then. So I bought Gordon in on my wild card in game week 32. And I thought, well, one of the reasons I did that was because it didn't look as if Eddie Howe was fancying either Volta Marda or Johan Visser up top, and he was starting Anthony Gordon in the 9, and I just thought, yep, last 3 games in FPL, he's been getting the points. You know, the fixtures for the longer term don't look bad for Newcastle between now and the end of the season, except for that Arsenal away game in 34, but that's okay because I'm free hitting. So Anthony Gordon looked like a really nice pick. And then he goes and puts Willa Sula in, who starts up top in the 9, scores the goal, and actually performed really, really well. So Gordon, having been pushed out wide because of to accommodate Sula, got 1 shot, no chances created. He was hooked, I think, on 71 minutes. It was a performance well below his recent levels that we've seen. So have I made a bit of a mistake getting Anthony Gordon in, Tom? What did you think?
I'm not sure you could have foreseen the positional swap coming, obviously, after he's done so well in recent weeks. But that goal must have been grating, with because he would have been there to tap it in.
Yeah.
And he probably wouldn't have fallen over either, like Asula did. But
he did well to get it in the net, didn't he? Even though he did stumble over it, Will Asula.
yeah, it was a decent finish in the end. But yeah, Newcastle, it's a bit of a grey cloud hanging over them. They've still got it in them to make a late push for the top five, but they've lost 7 of their last 10 now. And we should say Joe Linton picked up his 10th yellow card of the campaign. Him and Mosquera, I think, are the only two players that managed to reach that threshold. So he'll sit out game week 33 and 4, which is, of course, good news for Bournemouth because they'll be up against a slightly weakened Newcastle midfield. But yeah, you've got Gordon. Are you going to keep him for Bournemouth?
Well, like I've said before, I probably have made my bed now, haven't I? I've probably got to stick with him. But I think a lot will depend on the O'Reilly injury.
Yeah, you'll buy Shirky if he's out. Yeah,
I think if O'Reilly is out, then that Gordon spot suddenly is up for grabs, or the City spot is up for grabs, and maybe Gordon to Cherky might be on. Let's see. So from a Palace perspective, both Sarr and Mateta coming appropriately for this podcast off the bench on 63 minutes. They completely changed the game, didn't they? Completely changed the game. And Mateta may be back on radar. Who knows? Maybe it's been great for us previously in the season, and him getting up to speed and with West Ham at home up next in game week 33. I don't mind it, but I have the same concerns that I've had for a couple of weeks with Palace, is that, you know, the fact that he started with Sarr and Mateta on the bench means, I think, he's managing them, right? They've got bigger fish to fry, maybe, with Europe in mind, right? They're 3-0 up in the first leg of the quarterfinals. They're going to be in the semi-final. Got potential to have their first trophy at Palace for some time, certainly a European trophy for some time. So, I don't know. I'm probably not going to go for Palace on that basis. How about you?
Yeah, it's tricky because obviously we know that they're more than likely to have another double game week later on. So if I was to wildcard, if you're wildcarding this
week,
you maybe throw one on the bench, like a Chris Richards. Centre-back's probably the safest area of the pitch. They've only got 4 for 3 positions. I was a bit surprised that Sarr didn't play, to be fair. Although maybe international duty had something to do with that. And then Mateta, Strand, Larsson, I think, you know, they'll be rotating those around Europe and Premier League for the rest of the season, I think. Daniel Munoz is the one, though. They don't have another right wing back, at least another senior right wing back. And we know how energetic he is up and down the wing.
Absolutely.
3 shots in the box, and he got DEFCON as well. So he's always going to be a tempter whenever Palace have good fixtures or even a double game week. It'd be hard to resist him.
Yeah, always. A couple of games just to finish up then, Tom. So we've got West Ham versus Wolves and we have got Forest versus Villa. Let's do West Ham Wolves first then. So as you mentioned before, Mosquera picked up the 10th booking, so he's going to be suspended for the Leeds game in game week 33. So it's of possible interest to Dominic Calvert-Lewin owners, who knows. And he'll also miss the Spurs game in game week 34, which is good for those that are that may be on Solanke or Richarlison. But the star of the show, I think, in this game has to be Mr. Jarrod Bowen, 7.6. in FPL, got DEFCON, I think, at the death in this game as well.
Yep.
And has produced now 10 assists this season, which is the third best in the league after Bruno and Cherky. But I did look at some of the underlying stats for this game, and you've got Bowen, so you'll probably like this stat. 0.14 XA in this game. So the fact that he got 3 assists off an expected assists of 0.14 means there was a little bit of jam that come with those 3 assists, Tom. But as a Bowen owner, you'll take that, right?
Yeah, I couldn't quite hear that last bit, so I'll ignore it. he hit the post as well, remember? And he also popped Traore through for a sitter as well. He should have had 4 assists if you saw that last big chance that he created. But yeah, he's just a brilliantly consistent asset. He's returned in 9 of his last 11 matches. And DEFCON as well was just a lovely bonus for a forward, obviously because he plays on the wing. But yeah, we'll enjoy him being a forward while it lasts, potentially. And then Mavropanos, you said Bowen was the star. If you own Mavropanos, you probably disagree.
True.
21 points.
Yeah, absolutely.
3 goals in 3 weeks. A couple of brilliant headers. Although his DEFCON was later removed, but I'm not sure people care too much about that.
Yeah, I think that West Ham versus Leeds penalty shootout going the way that it did. And that's all focusing on Leeds assets for the double game week. I think had it gone the other way, I'd be almost certain that I'd have bought Mavropanos in for... You know, not just Wolves at home, but then a double game week, and I'd be sitting here with 21 points. So that penalty shootout in the FA Cup has got a lot to answer for, no doubt about it. Certainly from an FPL perspective. And then Forest versus Villa, Nico Williams, very, very good performance from him. 4 shots in total, the most of any player on the pitch, and of course got the goal as well. 39 goal attempts this season, which is the best of any defender by the way, across the whole game, better than O'Reilly and Cash and Gahey and Calafiori, who are all up there with him. But 39 goal attempts, very nice from Nico Williams.
Yeah, if you were playing Challenge this week, you would have run the numbers, and he'd had the most shots outside the box of any defender this year. And that was the Challenge points for shots outside the box. So he came good scoring with his 29th shot outside the box, I think.
Yeah, you'd have been laughing if you picked him in FPL Challenge. And I think he's on, he took a lot of corners as well. I saw some quotes from the manager encouraging him to shoot more, you know. And with Burnley up next, I mean, listen, no, again, it's just the same narrative as we've been saying for the last sort of half hour or so. No double game week for Forest, so therefore no double game week for Nico Williams. But in a game week where you've got Burnley at home, and then Sunderland away is a tricky looking fixture in game week 34, but at least he has a fixture when many don't. You know, they've got six teams that are blanking. Should we be looking at Forest in a bit more detail? Should we be looking at Nico Williams a bit closer?
If you don't have chips left, I think Forest are a great team to target with Burnley. I think Gibbs White would be a good differential as well. Any attacker playing Burnley, to be fair, is always has a half decent chance of getting points. And Hudson-Odoi, we've got in the notes, assist his third and fourth 4 weeks, assisting Williams' goal. So another cheap punt if you maybe haven't got any chips and you want to target the Burnley fixture.
Yeah, I like it. And Anderson gets his DEFCON again. You know, water's wet, grass is green. Anderson gets the DEFCON. It's just that every week for him, he seems to start on 4 points. What a machine he's been. Never gets the, or very rarely gets the sort of spikes, does he? Very rarely gets the sort of the big points, but just ticks over every week. Very, very nice indeed. And then Morgan Rogers, second assist in as many game weeks for him, missed a big chance in that second half as well. He was 1 point off of DEFCON. So on another day, he would have been another player that I've been regretting taking out. He could have hauled, couldn't he? He absolutely could have hauled.
Yeah, he could have made my week, a good week into a great week, if he just kept his shot down from the six-yard box when he blazed one over from a few yards out. But at least he got an assist. That's his second in 2 weeks. And he's at least rewarding a little bit of long-term faith because he's dropped in price a few times and blanked quite a lot recently. So a little bit of a bonus there. Right, that's it. All 10 games done. The next game week is the big double game week, so use those chips and transfers wisely. Don't forget, we have a midweek round of European fixtures first with Arsenal, Forest, Villa, Palace and your team, Lee, Liverpool, in action all ahead of Saturday's deadline.
And Kelly, Jules and Sam will be back on Thursday. They'll be talking through the must-have double game week players, as well as free hit drafts, the best chip strategy, and who are the single game weekers that you really should not ignore.
If you haven't already done so, don't forget to join the FPL Pod Mini League. The code is XY6XPL. Lee, this has been a lot of fun despite Chelsea's defeat.
Great bonding with you, Tom. See you soon.